We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Breaking news, Terry Rozier. He'll be the next starting point guard of the Charlotte Hornets.
Step back, wide open, and it's good! Terry Rozier!
Lynn has the fire! Oh! Oh! Some frequent flyer miles!
All right, what's up, everyone, and welcome in to another Buzz Beat, your Charlotte Hornets podcast on the Blue Wire Network. This is Richie, and I'll be joined by Brian today. This episode is brought to you by our partners, betonline.ag. On today's episode, we are bringing on Tim Martin. Tim is a professional basketball trainer based out of Dallas, Texas, and has worked with players like Trae Young, Miles Turner, Corey Brewer, Josh Howard, and what got our attention, we've seen him working out with Devontae Graham and PJ Washington. Tim, thanks for joining us today, and how's everything going with you?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Very good. Well, we definitely want to get into a little bit about you and your background while also getting a little bit more technical with some of the basketball things and that you guys have been working on with PJ and Devontae. And I was doing some research on you, and it looks like you've really had a crazy journey growing up. You moved around a lot as a kid. You dropped out of college. You were a single father. And I'm sure you dealt with a lot of adversity along the way. How would you say that struggle and those troubles that you dealt with growing up shaped the way that you kind of approach your career today?
Well, I think the biggest thing for any of us, we all have a story, you know. And to me, I try to live by being optimistic that things are always going to turn out okay. You know, I'm just blessed to be able to do what I do full time. I'm around a lot of great people, but, you know, that's why I call it the beautiful struggle. You know, you have to find the beauty in your struggle. And for me, I'm just always trying to, you know, take the positive out of the negative and, you know, just try to capitalize on opportunities. And I've been surrounded by a lot of people, great people that have taught me and molded me to become the man I am today. And so, you know, I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to do this every day. You know, I really love what I do and I enjoy what I do. So,
hey Tim, this is Brian. Thanks again for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. And that sounds like a good perspective. I feel like any positive person I've met, they have the ability to sort of to be able to take a positive out of anything and have it build character and personal strength and stuff. So, and I will say too, as a Winston-Salem kid, very happy to see that you have worked with Josh Howard, who was like my absolute idol growing up, and went to the Josh Howard basketball camp in Winston too. So. He was a hell of a player. I feel like I hope people don't, he's a guy I feel like kind of went under the radar, but made an all-star team, was on some really good good rosters with the Mavs too. But yeah, so speaking of the Mavs too, your first job in the basketball world outside of some consulting obligations was with the Mavs G League affiliate, the Texas Legends. So two-part question here. What was your role within that organization? And two, can you speak on the benefits of having this type of development system within the NBA structure? You know, I'd be curious to know changes you've seen in the G League over the last decade as franchises sort of continue to dump more and more resources and time and energy into these programs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, so when I was with the Texas Legends, that was during the 2010. So Nancy Lieberman was the head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, Dell Harris was working in the front office with Spud Webb. And, you know, for me, man, I was kind of a jack of all trades. I didn't really have a title except, you know, just kind of do everything. You know, I had to usher in the stands. I had to help with the basketball camps, you know, help with calls for making sales. So I got to experience a little bit of everything on that first year, and it opened my eyes to what goes into an organization, you know, from the day-to-day operational side. And, you know, it really forced me to kind of get out of my shell by being so shy, and forced me to communicate, learn how to communicate better, you know, and just be more organized with my day-to-day approach. So I think it's beneficial for not just for players going through the G League route, but I think also for coaches and people like in the video coordination space that are trying to come up through the front offices even. You know, there's so many different opportunities that the G League really allows you to learn the ropes and understand the business at a high level, you know. And so I think I learned a lot, and I was very fortunate to be a part of that movement very early on.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I worked with a minor league baseball team for a little bit in and out of college, and that's like it's all hands on deck. That's what people got to understand. Like if you work for a system like that, like you got to really have to be a utility player here.
There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website.
Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Yeah, Tim, you are currently working as a basketball trainer, but before we get into kind of like the on-court skills that we're going to get into with Devontae and PJ Washington, what would you say like are the biggest life skills that you kind of want your players to walk away with after sessions with you? Like do you focus on life skills, or is it strictly just on the court action?
No, man, we talked about more about life than the actual game, you know. And I think it's good to talk to the players about life and get to understand where they're at mentally and what they're dealing with emotionally and all those different variables, because, you know, you're dealing with human beings at the end of the day. And so, you know, when you talk about player development, it's also about human development, you know, developing good habits, such as like a morning routine, whether it's through meditation or just getting your mind right for the day. You know, these guys deal with a lot of stuff off the court that majority of fans may not really be aware of. And it's hard to have that balance, you know. You know, it's just they may be getting paid well and living this quote unquote dream life, but man, there's a lot that comes with it. And so, you know, just developing a sincere and genuine relationship with most players, that's kind of been my MO, and that's the one thing I really enjoy about this, because you see a guy like PJ. You know, I've been working with him since the ninth grade in high school, and so seeing PJ go from ninth grade all the way to the pros, it's been a blessing to just witness that, you know. Here's a kid who said that he wanted to make it to the NBA, and it actually happened. You know, that's surreal to me to be a part of that and to witness that. So, yeah, man, the life skills is everything. And that's why I enjoy doing what I do, because it's bigger than basketball.
Right. Well, speaking of PJ, you started training him, like you said, in high school, and it seems like you've been working with him ever since. We obviously didn't watch him as a high school basketball player. Kind of tell us what he was as a player when he was 15 years old, and then what are some of the areas and skills that you feel like he's developed the most since then?
Oh, man. If you guys got a YouTube PJ, put YouTube PJ Washington and, like, Finley Prep.
Okay.
He was a big bully, man. He was just a bully on the court. I mean, he was rebounding. He was just setting hard screens. I mean, he was your vintage Anthony Mason type player, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously we knew somewhat of a hybrid four. You know, studying the NBA game as he was coming up through the high school ranks, we knew that teams were starting to switch ball screens a lot. You started having these hybrid fours that may initiate the offense or start the break, you know, off the rebounds. But PJ was always one of those kids that would make the right play. He was actually always a really good passer in high school for his size. And always, I wanted to have a focus point, which was his three-point shooting. You know, being able to work on pick and pops and pick and rolls. And, you know, he also played for Team Penny in high school. And so he was educated and was taught a lot by Penny Hardaway. So, you know, on how to make good decisions with the ball in his hand. And then obviously, you know, and outside of that, his dad was a great coach too. So it was a collective effort, but shooting and ball handling, I would say, were the two biggest things that we focused on throughout high school and even his time at Kentucky.
What was that process like? I mean, you've worked with PJ even before this, but if you go back to his freshman year at Kentucky, he takes 21 three-pointers, and in year one with the Hornets, he takes 230, and, you know, almost 170 of them from above the break. I mean, it's more than like his improvement from year one to year two at Kentucky was incredible, and it goes beyond just, you know, his three-point volume going up or whatever. But what was the process like for making PJ the shooter that he is now, which is like a legit stretch four in the NBA at age 21, when two seasons ago he really was mostly just like a post-up bully at Kentucky?
Yeah. Well, man, I'll tell you, it's very tedious. You know, you gotta break down the details within the details. And, you know, for me as a trainer, my job is to be able to find 10,000 ways to say the same thing. Because I need something for it to stick, you know what I mean? And so for to become a great shooter, you really have to build up your self-awareness. You need to be aware of what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, and be able to auto-correct yourself. And, you know, for me, just constantly drilling and building muscle memory and talking about it and him also putting in the work, you know, it's about him being able to retain the information. You know, a lot of players will listen, but they'll forget about it. But PJ, he picks up on things very fast. And so, you know, from his days of high school, even at Kentucky, from his freshman year to his sophomore year, he increased his three-point percentage by 20%. Mm-hmm. But that's just a testament of him actually not just putting in the work, but working smarter and getting quality reps. And, you know, that leads him now to one of the best rookie three-point shooters in the game today.
Yeah, and Tim, you may have touched on this a little bit already, but just, you know, with PJ this season, we did see such a wide variety of skills. He's got a really nice touch out of the post, that right-handed hook shot. Good, you know, guy that could catch a lob on the roll or pop, do a lot of different things after screening or slipping. And heck, man, we even saw old PJ handle it a little bit out of some DHO or some – occasionally Charlotte would clear out and run a little pick and roll with him as the ball handler too. You know, with someone who is so versatile, and I'm guessing, you know, especially in the offseason, you have such a finite amount of time. You've got only X number of days and weeks to work on a skill or to develop something new in a span of a couple of months. But how do you prioritize these sort of like discrete skills for guys to work on? Are you watching and seeing where the game's going and how a guy's going to fit into a role in the NBA? Or are you trying to think, is it something more outside the box than that?
It's a little bit of both. You know, you definitely want to stay in tune with what the coaches want and what their role is with the team. You know, you don't want to be teaching something that goes against that. But I think at the same time, also, when you're expanding your game as opposed to working out, and what I mean by that is, say, you know, we're only really working on one or two areas of his game throughout the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And if we're just focusing on two areas and building that up every single day, what's going to translate is that's going to translate into confidence. You know, and now he's seen every defensive coverage with that. He knows all the technical movements for that, you know. And so just building off of those couple of areas, to me, that's what works. You know, a lot of guys will kind of work on everything throughout the offseason. But for me and PJ, we only really focus on one or two areas and just go hard at that. And it definitely translates over time.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, and yeah, it seems like the way to maximize, again, having only a couple of weeks or a couple of months to do that is it feels like that's something LeBron does every summer. So LeBron just goes out and adds one more tool to the toolbox. You know, he masters it every offseason. But let's shift our focus over to Devontae. Look, he may not win it, but Devontae certainly in the conversation and deservingly so for most improved player in the league. He averages 5 points per game his rookie year, sort of on the fringe of the rotation to 18 points per game. He was a monster assist guy out of the pick and roll, really one of the best off dribble pick and roll shooters in the league. And part of that is his range on his perimeter shot, that he can bend a defense with his gravity, and he's going to force teams to guard ball screens a certain way too, again, because of his off dribble shooting range. As someone that's worked with him, how have you ever tried to expand his range shooting the ball, and how does that process achieve? Is that just strictly like you got to get up X number of shots per day? Is there a different method to the madness than just volume and practice?
No, well, you know, that honestly, Devontae's development, that's a testament to the coaching staff of the Hornets. Jay Hernandez and all those guys, they do a great job of just teaching the fundamentals and teaching the basics to give these guys success, you know, and putting them in the right positions to have success. So, you know, the Hornets staff and organization, the one thing I love about what they're doing is they're seeking smart IQ guys. And it's not just smart players on the court, but the guys that are in practice, they're able to pick up on things very quickly. And you can see that with Devontae. You know, he's that type of kid, you can just tell him one time and he'll master it right then and there. You know, and so for him to go from his rookie year to his sophomore year, you know, he just blossomed into one of the best point guards in the NBA very quickly. And the same thing for Miles Bridges and some of these other guys. So I just think the staff for the Hornets, you know, they're doing a great job of doing their due diligence by these guys that they're drafting and just, you know, coaching them up.
Yeah. I think it was Nate Mitchell is one of the guys on the Hornets staff that gets getting some of the credit for really working with Devontae over the last, you know, 12, 18 months or whatever.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nate. You know, like I said, man, I learn from them all the time. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of their staff, and we got a lot of hungry guys on that staff. You know, they do the extra work. And same thing with the players. And when you mesh those two together, they have a bright future as an organization.
We actually saw a recent video on your Twitter, Tim, of Devontae, you know, playing as a ball handler out of the pick and roll. And we've seen him this season, you know, being able to score out of the pick and roll. And he was pretty efficient when it came to his pull-up three-point game. Having said that, he did run into a lot of trouble when teams blitzed him and they tried to get the ball out of his hands as much as possible. And then if he did, you know, split the trap, he occasionally struggled to kind of score inside the paint. How much focus, and I know that you probably haven't worked with him as much as PJ, but how much focus have you spent on with him on that in-between game? And like what specific techniques or drills have you been stressing, you know, becomes more of a factor inside that three-point line?
Yeah, well, you know, once again, I think that's more from the Hornets standpoint. I've worked with PJ a lot more. So, you know, with Devontae, I don't really, I haven't had the chance or opportunity to work with him on those things, but I would definitely love to in the future if the opportunity ever presented itself. But, you know, to that point, I do say, like, if you go back and you watch Steph Curry and some of these elite guards, you know, they all had to go through that experience. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can kind of learn how to deal with that is by going through it. You know, and in year three, year four, he'll almost see every type of defensive coverage by that time and know how to respond, know how to react, and so forth. You know, I know Trae Young had to go through that a little bit after his rookie season. You know, a lot of teams started trying to pick him up three-quarter and try to get the ball out of his hands early. And so it's just an adjustment, you know, and I think that comes with it, just like a quarterback in the NFL, you know, like a Robert Griffin. You know, his rookie year for the Washington Redskins, he was hot. And then in year two, you know, those blitz packages started to change. And so, you know, I think any point guard in the league, you're going to see different reads and coverages early on in your career.
You know, one of the players Charlotte's targeting, I would imagine, or will certainly be, could be available in the pick range when they're looking in the middle of the lottery this year, Kentucky combo guard Tyrese Maxey, another Dallas, Texas product. And I'm a big fan of Tyrese Maxey. He's a really, really interesting and skilled young player. But I just sort of generally speaking, you know, first, you going back to PJ's NBA debut, so this is like late October, he goes off 27 points, 7 3-pointers against the Bulls. Just a couple weeks later, Tyrese Maxey makes his college debut for Kentucky against Michigan State, 26 points, and he just, it was like unconscious at times and hit some absolute bombs in the second half of that game. But with both those guys bursting on the scene in different fashion a few weeks apart, like, tell us, what's the emotion going through you when you see that? Are you on your couch cheering while these games are happening? Are you getting a text or an ESPN alert and just sort of grinning about it? What emotionally, how does that feel to see two guys that you've worked with, I mean, really hit the ground running this season?
Man, it's a little bit of two things. One, it's kind of expected because I don't want to come across arrogant, and I'm talking about collectively, like when you have these conversations, I'm big on visualization. Mm-hmm. You know, I always ask my players to send me goals. Like, what do you guys want to accomplish before the season starts from a team standpoint and a personal standpoint? What do you want out of life? You know, how can we manifest this to become a reality? Because it starts in high school, right? So going from high school to the NBA, it's like sometimes you have to expect these things to happen to you. You have to believe in your abilities, but you only really get there by expecting things by the work you put in. So if you put in the work and you believe that it's really going to happen, that you're going to have success in any game or any situation, then it comes off to where it's like, yes, it's a gratifying feeling, but it's like, okay, we got more work to do. You know what I mean? So we want to always maintain and take that positive approach in anything. But then on the flip side, it's emotional because it's like watching your little brother or your son, you know, having their moment, so to speak, like whether they're graduating or just, you know, it's those little things that now you're going to be able to always talk about for the rest of your lives. So seeing Tyrese do that on the biggest stage, you know, at the Madison Square Garden, it's awesome, man. It's really cool to see that because some of the things that you guys have worked on in the gym, you know, you can see a change. Like, you'd be like, man, I don't remember when he couldn't really do this or he couldn't do that type of dribble. And to see it progress and you know, for him to reap the benefits of it because he worked so hard, you know, he deserves all the credit. And it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, and just from hearing you talk about these guys too, it's really easy for me to see why these guys like working with you, Tim. That's apparent. The passion and the care factor is there, which is really, really cool to see and hear. But speaking of Tyrese, you know, watching him finish around the hoop this season, he was really damn good. But driving closeouts, pushes in transition, you know, after splitting a pick and roll, he clearly has got, you know, great burst, quick hands, fast first step. And he has, I think, among a lot of these guard prospects, just excellent body control at the hoop. Has that ability to sort of get a shoulder into an opposing big. Doesn't get a lot of shots at the rim blocked, even though Kentucky didn't have, like, amazing spacing this season or anything. Is that something you worked with Tyrese Maxey on, you know, his ability to contort and finish with touch? Or is that, like, an intuitive thing that just special guys like Tyrese Maxey have the ability to do?
Yeah, so, I mean, we definitely worked on that. I mean, we probably worked on his floaters and just, you know, utilizing the backboard in different spots of the glass for over a year, you know, early on in high school. And so, you know, Tyrese is one of those kids that he's just very curious. And I love this about him. He's very curious. And so when you're working with Tyrese, he's always engaged. He wants to know all the subtle details, you know. And so when you're becoming a great finisher around the rim, you really have to focus on those details, because every little thing matters. How you're going to the basket, your body control in midair, the way you position the ball and adjust and get away from those bigs coming at you. You know, it's a science, you know, and then you add the creativity aspect of it. You know, he's just smooth as they come anyway. You know, he just got that little pizzazz with him. But yeah, man, it's all technique, man. But yeah, it's definitely being precise in our drills and building that muscle memory. And you know, I'm glad to see him translated on the court.
Yeah, his finishing at the hoop is incredible, and I assume you've worked on Tyrese's jumper with his form on his jump shot is just like is. Phenomenal too. So anyways, we got one more question here and we'll get you out. So by all means, be as brief or as long-winded as you'd like to here, but you know, the Hornets, they're not going to play for, you know, unless some of these other off-season things come to fruition, they're able to do these OTAs or some of these, you know, maybe exhibition games or whatever in July and August. You know, they're not going to play for 9 months. There's just a good chance of that. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know, as a guy that literally for a living trains and develops players, and we've heard coaches and players that are of the eight teams that are not playing, we've heard them express their frustrations with this. But from a developmental perspective, you know, what can a franchise like Charlotte do, or the players on that roster do, to essentially make up for lost time? Something that isn't their fault, you know, like they just got dealt a tough hand here. But what can some of these teams do in with this delta between the middle of March in 2020 and perhaps, you know, sometime in December this year, if they're playing games again then?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. You know, I think off the top, you know, I think teams are going to have to be more creative and innovative more than ever, just because there's such a long stretch. There's such a long gap between now and next season. And so it's really, you don't want to overdo it, you know, by having these guys work every single day, but then at the same time, you don't want to just, you know, do nothing either. You know, you always want to try to stay the course and make sure that you guys are in a good routine throughout this long off season. However, that's the million-dollar question. I think every team is going to struggle with trying to find that answer. And, you know, going into the off season with trades and the draft even, you know, I think I'm hearing it's pushed back until like October, maybe.
Yeah,
could be wrong.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
I mean, this whole draft process, even for me, has been been strange. You know, like I think the draft would be next week, if I'm not mistaken, originally.
Yeah, 25th would be next Thursday, yep.
Yeah, so I got these guys for another 2 to 3 months. So it's going to be interesting to see how polished some of these rookies are coming in for their first year as opposed in the years past. And then it's going to be interesting to see who's coming in out of shape. You
right.
Because it's hard for a lot of guys to just work out with no game action. You know, the the player development stuff and the training is cool, but at some point these guys want to get out there and 5-on-5 and travel compete, you know? It's going to be interesting, man. It really is.
Well, Tim, we do appreciate your insight and your time with us today. If people want to know more about what you do or look into some of your video content out there, where can they find you online on all your social media platforms?
Yeah, so on my Instagram, it's just Tim Martin B-Ball. And then on my Twitter, it's TimMartin_TX. And I always try to make sure that I'm doing the best job I can. I love to put out a lot of free content just for other trainers or coaches that are trying to teach, or even players just trying to understand concepts and develop their game. So, you know, you guys could also email me anytime at TimMartinBball@gmail.com. You know, I love answering questions, you know, anything basketball related, man. I'm a basketball junkie, so I really appreciate you guys having me on. It means a lot.
Well, that's good. Thank you for your time again. I know our listeners will enjoy this episode. They've already kind of retweeted some of the stuff that you always put out with the Hornets and Devontae Graham and PJ Washington. So you definitely get exposure from our fans.
Yeah, nice on low, man.
Tim, thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun, and yeah, we really do have some listeners that were geeking out when they heard you were coming on the show too. So best of luck with everything, and thanks again, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I would love to come on, you know, anytime, man. Anytime y'all want me on, I'm there. So thank you guys.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks again to Tim Martin for coming on our show. Listeners, if you want to win some AirPods or some Blue Wire merch, we need your help in filling out a survey about you and your podcasting experience. The link is going to be in the episode notes. Just click on that link, answer some questions about yourself and your listening experience, and it should take you no longer than 90 seconds to fill out. Once when you enter, you will automatically be entered for a chance to win AirPods or that Blue Wire merch. Thanks again for tuning in to another Buzz Beat. We will see you guys next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.